Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 51 of the Funkhauser Situation.
We're on the dark side of the moon now.
I know, right? It's all downhill from here, right? Until we crash and burn. My name is Chris Tomlin. I am the pop culture editor of the KSR Funkhauser wing of Kentucky Sports Radio. With me, as always, is Maria in a very fashionable jacket this morning.
She looks
and
lovely.
Lee, who I just had to take a dry cleaning tag off of. How you doing, Lee?
Well, at least I get dry cleaned, as opposed to that shirt you're wearing.
What? This shirt's great.
Yeah, it was laying on the floor this
morning. This shirt is fresh from the dry cleaners, in fact. I don't know. Too much starch in it, so it looks wrinkled, because I've been driving in a car for 2 hours.
Let me get this. Okay, Jesse Smollett, let me figure this out.
Oh.
There's so much starch, it looks wrinkled.
Yeah, because when you wear a starched shirt and you sit in a car for 2 hours and you get out, it looks wrinkled. That's how it works.
Lamest thing I've ever heard.
Nobody's buying this. Well, speaking of nobody buying things, how about that Jesse Smollett situation?
Yeah. Did you buy it when it first came down? Did you think it was real?
Well, it seemed
in Chicago.
It seemed
that
very
side of
odd.
Town.
It seemed very odd. Yeah,
two Trump supporters.
Yeah, it did seem like a very weird
who
situation.
Identified him and. Come on, man.
Yeah, who are just waiting for him. Like, he's not exactly famous, right?
Right.
And be like, who's.
I still don't
like,
know.
Like, those
he is.
Guys, like, those two redneck Trump supporters are watching Empire and going, we're going to get that guy. I can't stand him. But, so Chicago police have now arrested him and say that he orchestrated this whole attack on himself to get more famous.
Right.
Than he already was.
Somebody had him identified about a week before that at a Kamala Harris rally, and she was talking about lynchings, and he's standing right next to her. So that may have been the spark where he got the idea.
Wow,
he's obviously got some issues. I mean, to do that, you got to be a real piece of work.
Well,
so he's got problems.
And let me get. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is he gay as well?
I think so.
Okay, so he was purporting the double hate crime on himself,
right.
Basically.
Yeah.
Why would you hire people to throw acid on you? That sounds like a terrible.
Is that what he did?
I think isn't that what they did?
Well, I don't know. They actually did that.
Were they going?
They bought a rope. They went to someplace, bought a rope.
Man,
they've got them ID'd. And didn't he hire like two Nigerians to play these Trump supporters?
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh wow. Are you going to pull a stunt like this?
Absolutely.
To drum up.
Well, I meant to tell you, I'm a little disheveled because I was attacked by two Bernie Sanders reporters where they had beers. They hit me with an IPA and wrapped a feather boa around my neck.
Poured some sorghum on your head.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this is a crazy story. I mean, like, but the funny thing is that we've talked about this before. The social media landscape is so quick to condemn something.
Yeah, okay, but whoa, let me correct you there. And there'd be one thing, and you're right, everybody's got their own filter, so they look at things through that view.
Right.
The disappointment and the anger for me is so-called professional journalists who are supposed to be objective and look at things in a factual manner. That's not what happened right away. You had people from the New York Times, the Washington Post, that were already associated with Trump and his supporters. Immediately.
Right.
And so that's the problem. And it was just 1 week out from what happened up with the Covington kids.
Right.
That's insane to me that they didn't learn a lesson, that they are so infused. And I got a little bit of it this week. So Haley Harmon and I were on the John Oliver show.
You're famous. Yeah.
Yeah. We're on the John Oliver show because they picked up that clip where we're arguing about Chester A. Arthur and Chief just had a brain fart and couldn't remember who he was. And so she argued with me that he didn't exist. You can see the clip on the Live with Lee and Haley Facebook page, by the way, if you want. But
let's be honest, it is funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because she's so emphatic about it.
Right.
So, and that's all it should have been.
Right.
So you laugh at it. You go, ah, the poor girl, you know, she had a momentary lapse, you know.
And it's Chester A. Arthur.
And it's Chester
A.
Arthur.
It's not Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's obviously not as well skilled as I am when it comes to presidential history. You know. But anyway.
Well, you didn't seem 100% sure.
Because she was so emphatic
about
it.
If I recall, that clip is when Jesse looked that up. Yeah.
She said that. Yeah, because I thought that dog looks like Chester A. Arthur.
Which is a great call.
It was a good call.
And John Oliver's show gave you props
right.
by ending
they
the segment validated. By putting them next to each other.
And they
other.
Look just alike.
And you look like a comic genius, and she looks like a rube.
Right. right. They validated me.
Which
yes.
is the opposite of
the real
most,
life.
Of most episodes right. of Lee and Haley.
That's exactly right. yeah. The one moment it worked out for yeah. me was on international television. Yeah. But I start getting these messages Sunday night, like 5-15 minutes after that show airs. And I didn't even know we were on the show. I'm trying to figure out why.
Were your first messages from people you knew or people
no.
on social media?
No.
Oh, Twitter.
Like, I'm just on Twitter and Facebook, and guys are saying, who's that dumb bimbo that doesn't know presidential history? Who's that? This is why we got Trump, because of that dumb B-I-T-C-H. You know, and over and over and over, and I'm getting like, what is going on? And then a buddy of mine called me and said, hey, you're on John Oliver. And I was like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Because I knew Haley was embarrassed when it happened locally.
Right.
Not much, or much less on a national scale.
It's kind of cool you got on this show.
Yeah, was,
I love
oh,
that. You don't like that show as much as I do. I love that show.
Well, because as I said to you earlier, the guys who watch that show are the guys who find some sort of sexual pleasure out of beating Trump up all day.
I don't know if it's sexual pleasure.
Seems like it to me. What I'm dealing with, these guys are losers.
Well, I think that it goes to show you that while I watch that show and think, oh, people like me watch this show, there are also people who are basement-dwelling
Absolutely.
Extremists.
Absolutely. And I can appreciate
John
Oliver's
jokes. Who see a clip like that,
jokes,
and,
yes.
and like we talked about this on the phone the other day, and who watches that show, and in that montage,
right.
is just making a note of people they're going to go after.
Right.
Like, they had to go find your show, find
right.
her,
right.
find her on social media,
right.
and then attack her.
Right.
Like, it wasn't just like,
right.
you know, it didn't have a Twitter handle on the screen,
right.
you know?
No, they didn't. Yeah, they had to look it up. They had to put the effort in to make themselves feel superior. Right? It's like a drug
right.
for a lot of these clowns out there.
And if you watch that show, that is the most innocuous segment of that show every week. You know, every
yeah.
week they do that with,
right.
with anchors.
There
and
was no political bent to it.
No,
but
none.
They see it that way. And
right.
and again, it's one thing for those clowns that want to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
And again, it's not overwhelming. I didn't have, you know, I'm not up at night worried about it. But I find it irresponsible when so-called journalists do it that are supposed to be about the facts. That's all.
Well, you want to hear, speaking of, and we'll move on to pop culture stuff, but I have an interesting tale. I have a friend in Cincinnati where I live, Cincinnati area, and his last name is Sandman. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Covenant Catholic kid's last
oh,
name was
yeah.
Sandman.
Right.
And my friend got death threats
yes.
directed at his family
wow.
by phone.
Right.
Somebody looked up his number and published it on social media and said, this is this child's father. Let him know what we think of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he got all kinds of awful things directed at him. Like, his phone blew up, just message after message after message
mm-hmm.
of people who were just seeing a number on social media and going, you know what, I'm going to call this guy
yeah.
and tell him I want to what I'm going to do to his family.
Uh-huh.
It's just, sometimes just this world.
Yeah,
it's just the worst.
I would entertain myself, though, as those messages would come in, and I'd go after them, though, you know.
What, you would give it back to them?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you would answer the phone?
Yeah. Well, I can maybe read you one or two, if I can find it
yeah.
in time.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's see if I don't know that I can find it that quick.
Can you recall any just off the top of
your
head?
Yeah, one guy who, let's see if it's right here. Please be there, please be there. Where is that guy? Gone it. I can't find it. But anyway, it was something about some guy from New York, because I looked at his profile. He was calling Haley a dickhead. And he said, where were you educated, you dumb dickhead? Which was an odd way to
That's an odd,
go after a girl.
Yeah.
And so I looked up his hometown and found the high school and said, this is where I was educated. Where all dickheads are educated.
That's good.
He said, well, thankfully, I'm from New York. I said, well, I got my postgraduate at NYU. So I just kept going back at him all day long until he finally gave up.
Good, good.
That's just one yeah. example of the about half dozen to 12. I don't know what I did, but it's
crazy.
Morons.
My friend had to get the FBI involved. It
yeah.
finally got so bad that he contacted the FBI. I mean,
most of those guys, though, are keyboard warriors.
Yeah, but you don't know.
You don't
That's
know.
The thing.
You don't
That's
know.
What's scary. It's your family
it is
involved.
When
and,
the
you
family's
know.
Involved, you're right.
Right.
When it's just you,
yeah.
I got no reason to be here anyway.
Right.
So let's go.
Right.
let's dance.
Yeah,
you want
to
dance?
I got
let's
nothing
go.
To lose.
I've been wanting to feel something anyway. Just bring it, please.
Just give me a break from cutting. All right. Yeah. Shows we're watching. What are you watching? You saw something over the weekend. Let's talk about movie-wise.
Well, before I do that, can I just say something about what I consider the oasis of Kentucky?
Yeah.
Because, as you know, if you want happiness, it only happens between a glass of bourbon and a good cigar.
Correct.
All right. Well, we got that settled.
Yeah. Agreed.
Nearly a decade now. And by the way, here's one of the trolls. Jake was trolling me the other night.
Really?
Yeah, he made some comment. I posted a picture on, and I can say this because obviously he doesn't listen to this podcast. He posted some picture, or no, I posted a picture of me at the game with my buddy David West, and I said I'm with my...
Dr. Mike, take that picture?
Dr. Mike took it, and I said, you know, just a humble guy with his limo driver, whatever I said.
Right.
And then somebody wrote, Lee's the limo driver, you know.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. And then Jake wrote, oh, yeah, they got the pedal extensions.
That's a pretty good joke.
He's not much taller than we are.
It's a pretty good joke.
I know it's a good joke. I may not do this now.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Screw you, Jake.
Yeah, protest.
Anyway, they're located over in Brandon Crossing. They've been welcoming folks across Kentucky to find the perfect match of bourbon and cigars. We love it. They got over 200 different bourbons. And I'm telling you, if you like an old-fashioned, have them do the smoked version for you. It's fantastic. It's a drink and a show. 300 different cigars to choose from. Jake's the only establishment that provides the variety Kentucky deserves, and they have the new place coming soon. It should be ready in April. They'll move right across the street to that larger space, so you'll have even a more unique product selection from the Commonwealth and beyond. Like them on Facebook and Instagram to learn more about the future of Jake's.
Yes, if that is your jam, you definitely need to go to Jake's because it is where it's happening.
And if it's not your jam, you need to be asking yourself some questions.
That's true.
What's wrong with you?
So you saw a movie over the weekend, and let's hear about it. Oh, you saw it the other night, right? And it wasn't over the weekend.
Maybe it was the weekend. Yeah. I don't remember. It was Rebel Wilson's movie. What was that thing? I forgot the name of it.
I don't know.
You remember the name of it, Maria? She knows.
Isn't it romantic?
Yeah. Isn't it romantic? Yeah. Well, it's not.
It's not funny?
That's the review.
Yeah. We talked about this. I am not the world's biggest Rebel Wilson fan.
Yeah.
I feel like people loved her in Pitch Perfect. I was never a Pitch Perfect guy.
Yeah.
I watched the first one. I thought she was kind of, she plays a certain type of character. I didn't really find it. But I don't know that she's ever been anything that I was really like, oh, she's great in this.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything clever in there that they did some gags that where they make fun of the genre of romantic comedy. So that's, you know, they have the classic archetype. So you've got the gay best friend.
Right.
You got the rival worker who is another female. You know, two women can't get along.
Played so over the top?
Yes,
that jokes?
Now it starts off in it's like a Wizard of Oz thing. Starts off in a normal world,
right,
where she feels overlooked and neglected,
right?
But because of her appearance, she doesn't catch the attention of the what's his face, Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, Hemsworth, yeah,
he's in that, and she's an architect, but he sends her to get coffee, and you know. Well, then she hits
her. He's her boss?
No, he's a client. But
oh, you know. Hashtag,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they didn't do that.
In the workplace.
But then they got watch his face. This guy gets more work than anybody now. He's the guy. He was started off in Modern Family as what's her face's boyfriend, and now he's in every movie. He was with Zac Efron.
Oh, workaholics guy, Adam Devine.
Yeah, Adam Devine.
I like him.
I like him too.
I think he's funny.
He's the love interest.
Yeah.
And he can't get Rebel Wilson.
Right, to notice him?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. So, anyway, she hits her head, and now she's transported to this alternate reality.
Okay.
Where she's now in a romantic comedy. And they set the scene, by the way, in the opening part of the movie where her mother lectures her about these romantic comedies that she loves so much, because that's not the real world. It never happens this way.
Right.
So now she's trapped in this romantic comedy. She doesn't want to be there.
Right.
So all the cliches play out.
So then when she comes back to her regular life, which is still, we're assuming, terrible.
Well, no, she's learned lessons.
Oh, okay. So she comes out of it a better person.
Yes.
Now, does all this take place after, like, laying on a subway platform, or is she in a hospital in a coma? Or is it?
In a hospital in a coma. Okay. And they have a little gag there they do as well.
Those hospital coma gags.
Yeah.
They always kill. I've been watching a couple things on Netflix. I watched The Umbrella Academy.
That looked good. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I'm about 3 episodes in. I like it. It's different. It's kind of a...
What I found interesting, you said it's more of a Wes Anderson sort of...
It is. It's way stylized. It's kind of a dysfunctional family X-Men sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's about 7 people. They're not related.
But not quick line Deadpool type?
No, it's not that. It's not bam, bam, joke. It's, in fact, it's really probably...
It's not subverted.
It's probably not even really a comedy. It's kind of a...
Yeah,
it's like if Wes Anderson did a superhero. There's a lot of title cards on the screens, freeze frames.
All right.
There's a Kinks song in the first 30 seconds, which is a very Wes Anderson thing.
Yeah. Stable camera shots.
Yeah.
That's Wes Anderson. Yeah. I mean, everything is played in this little box.
Sort of, yeah. And it's kind of like that. And then there are, like, the shootouts are all set to, like, very esoteric tunes. Like, there's a shootout at the end of, I think, the first episode in a donut shop that plays to Istanbul, not Constantinople, by They Might Be Giants.
Yeah.
One in the second episode is Don't Stop Me Now by Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Which Daniel and I were talking about is a dicey choice as one of the greatest nerd fight scenes ever, as I love this movie, and I'm sure you do too. Don't Stop Me Now is the pub zombie fight scene in Shaun of the Dead, the great Shaun of the Dead, which is a fantastic movie. But I like it. I mean, I'm going to stick with it, see what happens. Also, this is a documentary series you would love, I know. Larry Charles, co-creator of Seinfeld and Cheers, right? Was he part of the Cheers? Burroughs? Was it Larry Charles and Charles Burroughs?
Right,
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Has a show called Dangerous Comedy, where he goes to the arguably the worst parts of the world and tries to find out what is making people laugh there. Which,
yeah, I like this.
Which is interesting. So he does, in the first episode, he's in Iraq and Liberia. Mm-hmm. Liberia, of course, is quantifiably awful with the Ebola quarantine a couple of years ago and everything. And when he's in Iraq, he goes to the first Iraq stand-up comedy club. And he talks about a show, and this is insane. He talks about a show in Iraq.
Anybody bomb?
Well, they talk about it's not too far from that. So apparently apparently ISIS and the government have set up checkpoints in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And if you get pulled out of a car, there's a good chance they are going to execute you on sight.
Wow. Right? Okay.
So this show is like punked, right? Where they set up fake checkpoints. Like, let's say I wanted to punk you.
Okay.
I set up a fake checkpoint where you get stopped and a bunch of soldiers pull you out of the car and put machine guns in your face and tell you that they're going to kill you.
Right.
And let that play out for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And then I come out from behind a car and go, hey!
Yeah.
What a kidding. Hilarious joke.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that the people who have just been punked
are like,
oh my gosh, this
you
is
got
great.
Me. You got me.
And the whole point is just that death is such a constant fear in places like that actually plays into their sense of comedy.
Yeah.
And it's really, really interesting. I think you would really like it.
Do they show stand-up routines where people are trying to entertain audiences?
I think they do later on in the series. I only watched the first episode last night. I think it's pretty new. They talked to a Muslim stand-up comic about the Iraq stand-up club. And he said, I don't tell anybody I come up here. Because he's like, first of all, I shouldn't be in a bar. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I'm making jokes about sex, family, religion, which are all things that could quantifiably get you dragged out somewhere and
beaten or killed
and murdered or beaten up. Yeah, so it's interesting. It's very, very eye opening.
Who books those gigs?
I don't know, but they did the postscript.
I probably work for that guy because I've done some things that
you've done some Iraq style.
No, but
gigs.
West Virginia is not exactly the garden spot.
What was that like?
Well,
is that like
tons.
A Bob's
there's
Country Bunker
good.
Situation?
I did a gig once for a company that was bilingual, well, meaning half the audience did not speak English. And they set that way. They segregated themselves in Spanish.
That's just what they told you.
Yeah. And the other half was English. So I could really only play to one half of the room.
Right.
They were very polite. The Spanish, they would smile at me, but they wouldn't laugh necessarily because they didn't understand what I was saying.
And what was the English speaker's excuse?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Like that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Masked Singer, or as Nick Cannon continues to call it, the Masked Singer.
I'm done with Nick Cannon.
What is up with him? Now he's dressing like an old psychic.
He does.
He wears turbans and weird glasses and sparkling shoes.
Who was the Caribbean lady that used to...
Miss Cleo?
Yeah, he dressed like Miss Cleo.
He does dress like Miss Cleo. It's crazy.
What's going on?
I don't know that this is doing
anything. Why did guys stop wearing socks, too? I see that all the time.
I thought that was just a car salesman thing. Yeah. I didn't realize that was also a... That's just a Nick Cannon thing.
No, I see dudes wearing tight pants, high water tight pants, and no socks. I see that all the time. Like, what is going on?
It's a ridiculous look.
It is ridiculous.
It is. Have some class. It's 2019.
Put on some socks and lengthen your trousers, son.
So, Masked Singer, now, I have not watched last night's episode where they kicked off two people.
They did. I know of them, but I did not guess that's who it was. So,
okay.
I was like, wow, okay.
Right.
And that wasn't even in my wheelhouse. Like, okay, that's way off.
So we're not going to talk about that one because there probably are people who are listening to this today.
There's the other one, though, that I did know. I knew from the beginning. I was like, yep, that's that person.
There are some that I'm positive.
Oh, yeah. There's two. There's one. I don't know. I'll tell you who I don't know. I don't know the monster. I don't know who that is.
That is very difficult. The going.
Somebody said T-Pain.
Yeah, that's the one I keep seeing.
Well, I don't know T-Pain either.
T-Pain you only know because he's always auto-tuned. That was always his thing, and apparently he can sing.
Well, this guy kind of sounds auto-tuned. And they even auto-tuned. I'm going to tell you who it is. They haven't unveiled him, but I know who it is. It's Donny Osmond.
Oh, Donny Osmond's a lock.
He's the peacock.
He's a lock.
And the other lock is Gladys Knight.
Gladys Knight.
How do you not know that?
Gladys Knight. Yeah. I'm with you on that. So, so I'm assuming then last night it was the... Hold on. It would have been the tiger or the lion.
Right.
And the is there another guy on there?
Mm-hmm.
The rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The twitchy rabbit.
Okay. I'm guessing the one I won't know is the lion, like you.
Correct. You won't know the lion.
I'm guessing. I think I know who the rabbit is.
You do. I think you do.
Okay. Don't tell me anything else. But since we last talked about this, we only knew Tommy Chong.
I knew Tommy Chong. I knew Terry Bradshaw.
I guessed Tommy Chong. I also guessed Terry Bradshaw.
I did.
I also guessed Ricky Lake.
Yeah. I think I was, I don't know if I guessed it right away, but eventually I figured it out just through clues.
Right. No one guessed Margaret Cho.
No.
Because why would you guess Margaret?
Including Ken, who didn't even
know.
Who
knew her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who plays
her
brother
on
the show, and he didn't know
it
was her.
Yeah. Because she's not really a thing that regular people know, you know, unless you what show the show he that show's not even on the air.
I didn't really guess Tori Spelling either.
Oh, Tori Spelling, that's right. She was the unicorn.
Yeah.
No, I didn't either. I thought that might have been who did I think that was going to be? Nicole Richie, maybe some sort of debutante family. I guess LaToya Jackson, I guess, from the first clue package.
I got LaToya Jackson.
Because she said, I'm from a famous family. She mentioned Indiana.
Yeah.
And then there was a big boa constrictor, which was her famous Playboy shoot.
Right.
And I was like, it's LaToya Jackson.
Did you explain that to your wife, how you knew that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I kept that to myself,
keep
too.
That, you got to keep those things to yourself. But what do you? Now that we're almost done with this show.
It's a silly show, but listen, I enjoy the show. When they bring in real comedic talent, Kim Jong is horrible.
Yeah.
But when they brought in our guy from Talk Soup, I love the show.
Was great when he was on.
And I love JB Smooth.
He was fantastic.
He'd stand up.
Yeah.
You guys got a freaky show.
The problem is he made that show not very kid friendly, which is a pretty kid friendly show.
I don't know.
And he kind of had some.
And then Kenan was okay. They brought Kenan last night.
Kenan Thompson?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He's okay. But it's so much better when they got real guys in there with real chops that know how to turn a phrase and make things funny. So I don't know why they can't keep those people there, because the rest of them are useless.
Kenan Thompson.
That's what kills the show, I think, is the judging.
Yeah, it's terrible. Jenny McCarthy's the worst. In fact, there's part of me, and don't give me any clues, I'm not even going to look at your face. There's part of me that thinks that the rabbit might be her husband, because Ken Jeong had Margaret Cho on there.
Yeah.
And there's some speculation that was Donnie.
She keeps going through that process by saying the rabbit never answers the phone.
Yeah.
Or Donnie never answers
she's
the phone.
Said, she's
when
made that joke like three times.
I know. Well, she keeps it up. She keeps going. It
I'm could, glad
I,
to know.
She, I will tell you this. She guesses that her guess is it's Donnie, her own husband.
That is her guess.
How would you not recognize your own husband's voice?
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Is Nicole Scherzinger the best judge they have? Because she's...
Actually, I hate to say it, it's probably Robin.
Yeah, it probably is.
He's the one who's more analytical, and he seems to know more about the music than anybody. Even though he's screwed up, he screwed up American law. Him and T.I. screwed up the American justice system. I've told you the story, right?
No.
Blurred Lines... got sued by the Marvin Gaye estate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think it sounds that much alike.
Is T.I. in that song?
Yeah. T.I. and Pharrell. So T.I., Pharrell, and Robin Thicke.
Okay.
So these three are representing what is just, in my opinion. I think this is an original track. There's some similarities, like a cowbell kind of banging around, but it's not. And on top of it, music people will tell you it's not the same, because if you look at it on music paper, if you look at it on paper, the notes don't match up. So it's different. The tunes are completely different.
First of all, you did not pull the sheet music for both songs.
I didn't pull the sheet music, but people did. I read an extensive piece on it somewhere, like Rolling Stone or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's two different things. But the judge was so irritated with Robin Thicke and Pharrell and T.I. coming in there high and drunk that he did not allow the jury to look at the sheet music. So they sort of had their hands tied, and the jury awards the money to the Marvin. So now anybody can be sued if there's a hint of it sounding somewhat similar.
So they set a precedent.
They set a precedent that is going to ruin everything because they're a bunch of stoners.
Well, Robin Thicke is not... Pharrell seems all right, and T.I., he seems okay, too. Robin Thicke just seems like a douchebag, doesn't he?
That's just because why you say that, because his dad was Alan Thicke.
You might think he also has had some, he's also had a bit of a checkered past, hasn't he?
He grew up privileged.
Yeah. The great Alan Thicke,
right,
of course, was his dad.
I liked Alan Thicke.
Did you know he wrote so many theme songs?
Alan Thicke did.
Did you not know that?
Or Robin did.
No, Alan. In fact, this is crazy. He wrote theme songs.
But did you not like Growing Pains?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a pretty... I mean, it was a knockoff of The Cosby Show, because that's what ABC was trying to capitalize on, what NBC was doing with Bill Cosby. But they did a pretty good job. I liked it.
I'm looking at this.
I thought it was funny.
Wait till you hear how many theme songs for TV shows he's written. All right. He wrote... Let's see here. Robin Thicke. Hold on. Let me come up here.
Robin Thicke? I thought you were looking up Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke. I'm sorry. He wrote the original Wheel of Fortune theme song.
He did?
Yeah, he wrote the theme song for Different Strokes.
Hmm.
He wrote the theme song for Facts of Life.
Wow.
And he wrote the theme song for Animal Crack-Ups. I don't know what that is.
Not really.
I also think he wrote WKRP. I can't be sure about that, but I think he might have. But I didn't realize he was that accomplished of a music writer himself.
Yeah. I didn't either.
Yeah. There you go. There's your one to grow on today.
Right.
So Masked Singer, that ends next week. Is that right?
Okay. And then they unveil everybody.
Who's that? Three more left?
They got three. It's three the top left. Three now.
Which is Donny Osmond, and Gladys Knight,
and
then the
T-Pain, maybe.
And T-Pain, probably. The reason they say it's T-Pain is because...
Is he from the South? Whoever that is,
they
have a southern accent.
Yeah, and he also makes a lot of golf references.
Yeah.
And apparently he was in a major injury situation with a golf cart. On a golf course, which we're expected to know, I guess.
I don't know.
Ariana Grande made music history today.
Thank God.
I know.
Something came her way.
More music history, as we would say. She is officially the first artist to occupy the numbers 1, 2, and 3 spots on the Billboard Top 100 songs.
What does that say about us?
Since the Beatles did it in 1964.
As a society, what does that say about us? Speaking of the Beatles, have you seen the trailer to Yesterday?
Oh, man.
Didn't that look good?
I'm all in on that.
Yeah, me too.
It's got everything I love. It's got Danny Boyle, who did Trainspotting and
Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire. And then you've got the writer of Love Actually, which I also love. It looks just like a delightful film, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. Like,
got a lot of nostalgia, obviously.
Yeah. It'll have a great soundtrack.
But just an interesting premise, one that I hadn't thought of, where what if the world sort of had some collective amnesia, except for one guy who's a music songwriter, street musician, and he's just after this incident happens, he was fortunate enough to hit his head and knock a tooth out.
Right.
He starts playing the song Yesterday to his girlfriend. She's like, "That's beautiful. When did you write that?" He goes, "I didn't write that. Who did?" It's like, "Paul McCartney." Who? And then they find out that the world has lost their memory of the Beatles. Nobody remembers them.
Is it that
them.
They didn't exist? Or is
I don't know. I think they exist because in the trailer
it shows
they show,
possibly
John
it
looks
Lennon
like the Abbey
McCartney.
Road. Yeah, yeah, showing one of them's barefoot. Like, there's these two guys out there who say that you stole their songs.
Right. Because they keep asking him to make up songs on the spot. He just keeps playing Beatles songs.
And then there's that thing with Ed Sheeran where he's in a studio recording Hey Jude, and Ed Sheeran's like, "Hey, let's do Hey Dude."
Right.
Makes more sense.
Yeah, that movie
looks great.
Yeah, it does look really great. I'm all in on that. But now, isn't it great that Ariana Grande is finally taking her rightful spot alongside the Beatles?
Occasionally, she'll make a hot rotation because it's got a beat I like to it. But she doesn't enunciate for me. I can't understand what she's saying. It's all
that's
these
the
runs.
Oldest, that's the old man.
It's a bunch of runs, though. I want to know what the lyrics are. And she's all day.
Can I tell you a secret? If you knew what the lyrics were, you would still not be impressed.
I know. But Demi Lovato, perfect enunciation. I understand everything clearly with Demi Lovato. That's a professional singer right there.
Wonderful diction on Demi.
Perfect. I get every syllable and word.
That's because she has to say
without losing
any of
the emotion.
She has to mouth everything out because she's stoned, and so she has to make sure she says it.
No, she's a professional. Ariana Grande's a upstart.
Well, Ariana Grande is in the league with the Beatles. Where's Demi Lovato?
Recovering.
Yeah. Well, good for Ariana Grande. Don't know that that's a thing that is deserved or not. I don't know. If you're an Ariana Grande fan, then perhaps you think so. We do not.
No.
Ben Affleck has said he is not coming back as the Batman.
I watched The Dark Knight again over the weekend.
Is that the Joker one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So good.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger is so good, man.
Yeah, we've talked about
that's
it.
That's so well done.
It is, and it's such an interest. It's one of the most interesting villains in any film.
And here's what a director should ask himself, because this is what Christopher Nolan accomplished. If we took away the costumes, is this still a good movie? And it would be.
It would be.
If
he was just a regular-looking person, it would still be an interesting
character. Yeah, and we played it straight with no costumes, is this still interesting? Is this a great cop movie, vigilante movie? Yes, it's awesome.
And it's true. You could strip that movie
of
all superhero-dom.
Right.
You could make Batman just a cop.
Yep.
And Heath Ledger
an ex-cop, whatever. Because he's sort of outside of what is legal.
Yeah.
And then, and Heath Ledger's some psycho. And that's a great movie still.
That's a good point.
You don't need all the effect. And
that's
so
a
if,
great point,
if
yeah.
you're, if you can make that movie, then you've got a great movie.
Yeah.
You don't need all this. But that's what DC cannot accomplish to save their lives.
They cannot figure it
it's
out,
all,
can they?
It's horrible. Except for Wonder Woman. Well, unless you got Gal Gadot. Then everything's great. I don't care what that woman's
doing.
I
argue that going back and watching Wonder Woman again, that I don't know that it's as good as I thought it was the first time I watched it. I watched it again, and outside of the very lovely Gal Gadot, I don't know that it's a great movie either. Here's why I think you would hate Wonder Woman. You want to know?
Yeah.
Because they relegate the male lead to a completely neutered sidekick, which I think would really sit unwell with you.
You know what, though? As a misogynist myself,
right?
I still get to look at Gal Gadot.
Well, that's how you know when you made a good movie. When you can make a misogynist like Lee still enjoy your film when you've completely relegated your male lead to being got your good movie. You can strip all the superhero stuff away.
That's why you'll never defeat the natural order of things. Even though you're throwing the worst propaganda of hate speech at men right at me, you put Gal Gadot in front of it, and I don't care.
If Gal Gadot was just yelling obscenities into your face.
That actually may turn me on even more.
That's a good point. So Affleck went on Kimmel this week. He was supposed to be Batman. And he said, I'm not coming back as Batman.
I'm not doing it.
Right? Because he said, we couldn't find a script I like. Which, let's be honest, if DC...
Didn't he want to direct it?
He wanted to direct it. But here's the thing. Like, if it's... Like, if DC is like... If this is beneath Ben Affleck, it might be a terrible idea. Like, whatever this script Ben Affleck has seen may be just horrendous. But the speculation is, now, who is going to take the role? The movie is called The Batman.
Okay.
Because we've run out of combinations of words.
Or if they've given up
of Dark Knight, Batman Forever, Batman Returns, Batman Begins... Just the Batman, like the Wolverine, you know, which was also a terrible
movie. They given up on doing any follow-up with Justice League stuff, like the Avengers? Are they done?
I don't know. Like, well, you would need, but if you're doing that, you would have to have Matt Affleck, because didn't he play, Batman Justice League.
Well, so. I mean, you're just still, it's still Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and
so what are you
Flash.
Saying? Are you saying
are they done?
Are you saying why do they need to make this Batman movie?
No. What I'm saying is there anything in the future for them to get back together, the Justice League, and fight whoever?
I don't know. The first one was so terrible, but Suicide Squad was terrible, and they're making a sequel to that. Yeah. So who knows? DC, who knows where their head is?
So who's going to be the new Batman?
Okay, so
let me tell you where I am with this. I would like to do it. But
if you say Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson.
No, I don't. Okay. It's Batman and Robin. I actually like that. It's not bad.
By the way, can I tell you something just a sidebar? The other day I was in the car, and I heard a clip of Owen Wilson on like Entertainment Weekly Radio, and I was by myself, and I did an Owen Wilson impression to myself out loud. You ever just talk to yourself in the car?
Yeah.
I did an Owen Wilson impression, and I'm going to tell you what.
Pretty good.
It was fantastic, and I could never replicate it.
You can't do it right now.
And no one heard it. It was like, wow.
Yeah. That's good.
Is that all right?
Yeah, all right.
So I did a whole riff on that.
Well, now you got that first building block. Let's keep it going.
I'm not prepared. I have not workshopped it. But I will say this. At the time, I was like, it's a shame no one could
hear this.
I like
that. That's a good wow.
Okay.
So on the way home tonight, get the next word ready. We'll have two words for next week's show.
All right, so you were going to say the direction you want them to go with Batman.
Well, I don't know. I was going to throw my hat in the ring until yesterday. I ran the 40.
I heard about your 40.
So
I wasn't going to bring it up. I thought it might be a sore subject.
It is, and I'm literally sore from the subject. Yeah. So me, Haley, and then we took Kevin McGuffey, we took Jesse, and our photographer Cody, and we all ran the 40, and we timed it because, you know, we wanted to see how we matched up to Josh Allen, Benny Snell, and the other guys that'll be doing the NFL combine.
Now, before you tell me how you did, how did you think you were going to stack up against everybody?
Oh, I thought I would win. I thought I would.
You thought you would win.
Well, yeah, I was.
But Haley seems like she'd be fast.
It doesn't matter. I'm a misogynist pig. I'm faster than girls. But anyway, I thought I would.
You were upset there was a girl in the mix.
Hey, why?
This should be an all male heat here.
Next thing, we'll let them vote. No, I literally thought I'd win. I mean, you see Jesse.
Yeah, but Jesse, I could see.
Okay, well, you know Jesse.
Having that sort of linebacker.
Cody, they're both soft dudes.
Right.
You're
not a soft
dude. No, I'm not a soft dude. I mean, I played high school basketball. I was a pretty good point guard. I used to be the quickest guy on the team. Yeah. I wasn't always the fastest, but I was the quickest. Mm-hmm. So I thought, all right, now I haven't run in 25 years, but I didn't think that would matter. I really didn't. My concern
was... Your mindset was, I still got it.
Yeah.
I'm still in top physical condition.
You know, Jesse and I were tossing the football. I'm running around. I go, I feel good. And my main concern is, because of the butter and salt that I've placed in the four chambers of my heart, it could explode. That's what I thought. I'll just die.
The 40's not that far.
You think that until you look at it. And then you freak out like, good Lord, look how long this is. And how are those guys doing it almost in 3 seconds? That's unbelievable.
You did it out of starting blocks?
No, well, I think the way they do the 40 is you don't like have, it's because it's not about reaction.
Oh, yeah, and it's football, so then football players aren't coming. They're probably coming off of a four-point stance, right?
Yeah, come off a three-point stance and go. So you only start the clock when you go. So it's not based on reaction time.
Right.
I wish it were. I think I could win that one maybe. But anyway, so we run, and it's interesting that it went by age, although I did beat Kevin McGuffey.
Yeah, but he tore a hamstring.
He says
he told me he tore a hamstring.
He didn't tear a
hamstring. I'm exonerating him.
No.
You were the bottom of the list.
He didn't tear a hamstring. When we're looking at our watches, he saw our reaction and kind of hops around.
He's like Dangerfield and Caddyshack. Yeah. Oh, my arm. It's broken.
Yeah, exactly. That's him and Caddyshack. He's moving around like this. Oh, look at my hamstring. Look at it. Because he said he went and walked a mile and a half last night, and his wife's a physician, and she said, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just old. But that's the way it went. So, because I'm the oldest. The next was Haley, and the next was Jesse, then Cody, and that's the way the times went, descending order.
Right.
They all beat me.
So Cody was first.
You know what
How was Jesse's? What was his? Because Jesse's a big guy.
Five. He did it in five, like close to four. It was the bottom part of five, like 5-1 or something.
Do you know what the hardest part of this would have been for me?
What's that?
I guarantee it. Coming off the 3-point stance, I guarantee I would have tripped and scraped my face.
Jesse almost fell the first time.
Yeah. Because if you're not used to that,
you throw your
weight forward and you're going
surface,
as fast as you can.
Yeah, our surface wasn't great either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I'm blaming it on.
You got some variables in there that messed everything up?
Well, I was also wearing a suit because I wanted to do it like Rich Eisen does it.
Because you wanted to do it in a suit and then be like, I did this in a suit.
No, that's the way Rich Eisen does it.
Right.
So I was going to do it that way.
So what was your time?
Oh, I think maybe six. Right at six, something like that.
You're right, though. It does show you how impressive that is.
Oh, it's crazy.
With those are big dudes.
But I am the living embodiment of decay. I mean, that's all this is. It's decay. It's just rot.
And then you have that on top of it to help further your mortal thoughts going to sleep that night. Like, oh, my God, I can't even run anymore. I'm done.
I'm not done. I'm going to fight. I'm going to train. We're going to go back in the fall. I'm going to win it.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm gonna win this thing.
I want to see you out in front of your house in your neighborhood just running 40s up and down the sidewalk.
You know, that's a better way to train, they say.
What, just?
Sprinting, as opposed to just treadmill.
Well, of course.
You sprint, and then, then go lift. Don't just get on a treadmill, do cardio all day.
I would think,
you don't change
yeah.
anything.
Because you got to have the burst.
Yeah.
Right? And you can't really get that.
I'm just saying it's a better fitness regimen. Anyway, so right now I'm not available to play Batman. So who
okay,
is?
Okay, all right, yeah. Since you're off the table,
yeah.
Some of the names been bandied about are Oscar Isaac. I like him. He's one of my.
You know
he's
what
one
I
of
watched?
My guys.
I forgot to tell you what I watched.
What?
What was it?
I don't know.
Daggone it! It was the with him and Ben Kingsley where he played Adolf Eichmann and they went and got him. Because Oscar Isaac was in the Mossad and the Secret Service for Israelis.
I don't know what that was called, but I remember that movie coming out.
I want to say Final Solution, but I don't think that's right.
No.
But it was something like that, and I watched it, and I loved it. It was really good.
He's a great actor.
He is a really good actor.
He's in a movie that hardly anybody saw that I loved.
Star Wars.
He was really good. Dangerous was in the title.
He was also in, I get it wrong, Machina. Ex Machina.
Oh, that movie's great.
Yeah, he's in that.
If you have not seen Ex Machina.
Oh, Machina.
Yeah, you should go see that.
Macchiato.
Because it is, oh, man, good.
Yeah, it's got What's Her Face in there. Ooh. What is her name?
What is this
Alicia name? Vikander or whatever her name is.
Yeah. A Most Violent Year. Mm. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
It is, he plays a crime boss in that movie. And he's fantastic. It was like a little film.
He's built funny.
Albert Brooks plays his consigliere.
Albert Brooks is playing a lot of bad guys.
He's like a low-level crime boss in New Jersey, and it's really interesting.
Oscar Isaac, he's got the biggest rear end of a man that I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
You know who else has a big rear end? Paul Rudd has a big rear end.
Yeah, but Oscar's bigger.
Really?
Yeah.
It, It's weird when
he looks like a fullback.
It's weird when you see a dude and it's noticeable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't look at butts, but like sometimes you'll see a guy and you're like, that's a rather large butt.
Yeah,
there,
I was watching the movie and I think I actually said, oh my God, Becky, look at his butt. But it is. It's huge.
I did not know that. Who else is it? Somebody else I noticed had a big butt the other day. I forget who it was. But, yeah, sometimes you'll see people who are otherwise very svelte, and they just got a big butt. Paul Rudd's got a big butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Oscar Isaac, though.
I like him.
I don't know that he'll do this. He seems like he's on his way. He's doing Star Wars already.
He doesn't come off as a Batman kind of guy.
No.
We need somebody else.
Michael B. Jordan, who did Killmonger from Black Panther.
I'd give it to him.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I don't know. It depends on how old you want to make Batman. See, because you'll see when we go through the rest of this list.
All right.
Like, it all depends.
So far, he's my favorite.
I'd take
him.
Yeah, he's good.
Now that we saw Black Panther, and I love Chadwick Boseman. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
he's better in Black Panther than Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Now that we know.
Oh, you think he should have been Black Panther?
You think we should have flipped
that? Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Because he's so good in Creed.
Maybe they forgot
that. He's so good in Creed. I love Creed. Creed 2. Have you seen Creed 2
yet? Not yet.
What are you waiting on?
I know. John Bernthal, you know who that is? He's the Punisher on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Just got canceled. He got some free time.
Yeah, I could see that. It'd be all right.
My problem with him is that he's fine, but he was so unlikable on Walking Dead that he kind of got typecast because that was the first time I'd ever seen him. I think he's also in that tank movie with Brad Pitt, Fury.
Yeah.
Right? He's in that. And he's a bad. He's kind of a butthead in that, too. I don't know that he's likable enough. Not that Batman has to be likable. Christian Bale certainly wasn't a very likable
dude. Michael Keaton was likable.
Hugh Jackman is on the list.
No.
Hugh Jackman just got – Juicy Guinness Book of World Records just surprised Hugh Jackman the other day with a record. He and Patrick Stewart have officially achieved the record of playing a Marvel character for the longest period of time.
Okay.
Which – because they were both in the first X-Men, which I think quantifiably is like what you think of as the beginning of the Marvel comics universe. Next up is Army Hammer. I like Army Hammer.
Yeah, I like Army.
Now, here's what I'll say to you. Apparently,
he's my second choice.
There was some speculation that Ben Affleck had quit the Justice League before Justice League was made. Army Hammer was going to step in and be Batman.
I could see that. He looks like the rich.
Yeah.
But maybe he's got some brooding darkness underneath it all. Hey, so I'd take him. If we can't get Michael B. Jordan, I'll take him. You know what he was good in?
I know. Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, he was good in that.
I love that movie.
Him and Henry Cavill.
Him and Cavill, yeah.
And it's got What's-Her-Face in it, too, who I just said. Isn't she in that? Alicia Vikander or whatever?
Yes, she is. That's right.
Yeah, but no, the movie that got maligned, and I thought it was pretty good. He played the Lone Ranger.
Oh, I love the Lone Ranger.
I did, too. Yeah, Johnny Depp was Tonto. I like that.
That is a very underrated movie.
Yeah. I think the train scene was ridiculous.
The train scene was the best part of the movie.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that.
Yeah. I loved it.
You're ridiculous.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah,
like
I never
understood why Pirates of the Caribbean, everybody just went ape over that.
And
then they did the same thing with Lone Ranger, and everybody was like, meh, pass.
Yeah. I think it was Johnny Depp fatigue. But I think if you give it time, people start to appreciate that movie.
You might be right. That's not as bad a movie as people say it is. Adam Driver. Now, bear in mind, Adam Driver was a Marine.
Yeah, no, he could do it. He's a great actor.
I think
he could do it.
Here's my problem with Adam Driver. He is very awkwardly built.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's
built. He can buff up.
I don't know that he's
Listen.
But I know that he's built
You're
like
not
a going
to recognize me in the fall either.
Right. Now, he's another one of our guys, Oscar Isaac. Adam Driver is another guy who I think is well on his way to being one of our greatest actors. He's really good.
I saw
this movie, The Report, like we told you about. He was great in that.
He was good in Black Klansman.
I know. I need to see that.
What are you waiting on?
Because I don't know. I got to see that. John Cho.
John Cho?
Yeah, you know John Cho. He was in he was in Star Trek. He played Sulu.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
He was in
that movie you saw with the internet. Searching.
Yeah. But he was also most famous for
Harold and Kumar.
Harold and Kumar.
Yeah. That wouldn't be bad. I mean,
that's all right.
Yeah, I don't
he
know.
He doesn't seem like an intimidating guy to me.
No, I agree. I can't see him being intimidating because he doesn't usually play that. And then Michael Keaton.
Again?
People say, why not bring Michael Keaton back? Let him do an older Batman.
Which an old Batman.
Wouldn't be a terrible spin on it.
Yeah, I guess you could do it.
I'm okay with that. What time we got there?
We got to go.
All right, let's do hot goss.
All right, quick.
Hot goss, sweeping the nation. All right, let's go. Hot goss item. Natalie Portman filed a restraining order against a guy who showed up at her gated community and tried to get in and claimed he was John Wick and that he had been communicating telepathically with her from across the country, and so he came out to meet her.
Hmm.
Look at that.
Why does she have walls? Walls don't work.
Gates do.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's what we need, gates?
Well, yeah, I think it's build that gate. Is that what they're saying? So, anyway, so good, Natalie Portman. She narrowly avoided an interaction with John Wick, as we all know.
Are you excited about the new John Wick?
Yeah.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
I'll see it, I'm sure. I love the first John Wick. I love the first one.
The second one's fun, too. The first one's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Item. Speculation is that Whoopi Goldberg has been secretly tapped to host the Oscars on Sunday. Thoughts?
I hope not.
I do, too. I'm not a huge Whoopi Goldberg person. She's done the Oscars, right?
Never have been. I mean, she's an okay actress. I just never been a big fan of Whoopi Goldberg.
I haven't either. Never. I think the peak of my liking her was the comic relief years on HBO when she was with Robin Williams
right,
and Billy.
Yeah. Why not just bring Billy Crystal back?
Oh, people would destroy him. People would kill him.
Whoever does it's going to be destroyed on social media.
Yeah.
There is no winning anymore. You can't win. All you are is fodder, cannon fodder for trolls.
Here's an Oscar prop bet for you. Do you think that Kevin Hart gets his name mentioned as a joke in that telecast
at
all?
Yeah, I would imagine. Sure. I would write that joke.
What's the over-under on Trump references?
I don't know. I think last year, didn't they try to avoid it a little bit? Seems like last year
I was very surprised at how not political the Oscars were.
I'd appreciate it if they just keep that going.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, why alienate half your audience? Even though I know your argument is that nobody's watching, but I am watching.
That's true. But you're an open-minded person.
But why don't they watch? It used to be all of America watched, and then they went political and divided and cut half their audience off.
Well,
but if you want to get them back, stop doing that.
Well, all of America also used to watch when all of America had seen all the movies.
Well, because they would nominate films.
Right, they would nominate movies that people saw. Item. Taylor Swift has filed a lawsuit against a New York computer repair store called SL Swift Life Computer Services as a counter lawsuit because she herself has an app called the Swift Life, which the computer repair store attacked, filing a suit against her for copyright infringement. So Swift Life Computer Repair filed a suit against her.
Yeah, because she comes up with this app, says Swift Life.
And she filed a counter lawsuit against them.
I'm rooting for the little guy.
Do you have the Swift Life app on your phone?
I do not.
What do you think's on that? I mean, I'm just out of curiosity.
Desperation.
I mean, really, what do you do on Taylor Swift's app?
I don't know. What would you do?
I don't know. We're gonna download this and talk about this on the next episode.
All right.
We're going to explore.
You put that on your phone. I don't want it on mine.
We're going to explore Taylor Swift's app and see what it's like. We'll do an app review of Swift Life.
Mm. I like Taylor Swift as a musician.
I used to like her more.
Yeah.
I think she's kind of annoying.
No, I'm not saying she's not, but there are some songs I like.
Yeah.
I like that style song.
Is she as likable as she used to be?
Well, nobody is, especially you.
I talked to a friend of mine who has kids, and they went to see Taylor Swift, and they went to see her last tour and her current tour, and they were like, we love Taylor Swift. She's so friendly, family-friendly.
Yeah.
And then the new tour was all, I'm going to get you for ruining my reputation, you know, that kind of thing. So, anyway.
You know what's fun to watch is these boy bands that are doing these reunion tours and looking out in their audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
See all these lunch ladies out there now that are...
Yeah, that's got to make you feel old, right? Wait a minute, this isn't how we remember this.
You know, it seems like they all got a pretty good sense about themselves, though, because they seem very appreciative that anybody's coming.
Well, they have to be, yeah.
Well, I would
that's
be.
That's all they got.
Hell, I am.
Yeah, I mean, J.C., I don't know how you pronounce it. I mean, what's he got going on?
I don't know. Nothing.
He's got to be happy anybody's there, right?
Sure, yeah. I would be.
Right. And we are happy you are here.
Absolutely.
And hope you will join us again
next
week.
Thank God for you.
If you like this podcast, go and give us a review or rate us or something. As always, if you didn't like it, we'd appreciate it if you keep that to yourself. That's another weekend, week edition for Funk Hazard Situation, episode 51.
You know, I don't feel good about
you. I went crazy there.
Flying this plane right now. I don't feel good about this landing at all.
I know.
Wow.
Episode 51. 51.
You banked it off the runway.
I know. That's it. That's it.
I think we're in the trees here.
I think we're done.
Yeah.
All right. Join us next week when our top story will be a review of Taylor Swift's app. Until then, see you next time.